Where there was hate, love now abides. And where there was confusion, peace now reigns. I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a child of the King. And it's all because I am redeemed. I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He purchased my redemption with His own precious blood, and from sin I've been set free. Amen. That's one thing I want you to make sure that you know. If I were to leave this week and I'm not here with y'all next week, I'll be there because I'm redeemed. Amen. That's the greatest thing in the world to know. It's the most important decision that we will ever make in our entire life is to be born again, to know that you're saved. I trust that everyone here is tonight. I had that funeral this afternoon. Amanda sent me a message and told me of the good news of Alex. And I'm so thankful that he has made the decision to follow the Lord and accept him into his life. And he made that confirmation this morning. We're so thankful for that. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Somebody say amen right there. And let me just tell you tonight that I'm very proud to look up into the choir and see that it's growing. Amen. Amen. We had a great turnout for the choir this morning. We got newer members tonight. By the time we get everybody together, y'all going to have to go find some chairs. Amen. And we're very excited about it, though, and I praise the Lord for it. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Ask Him to be here with us tonight. Brother Brian, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer? Church, would you stand tonight and let's sing that chorus that says there is something about the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 there's just something. But there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Again, it's so good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And we have a business meeting here at the church here immediately following the service, I suppose. So please be much in prayer for that. Nominated committees. It's hard to believe that we're at that time of year, but here we are at the very around the near corner is the beginning of our new church here, as well as homecoming. That comes up next month. So be much in prayer for these things, that the Lord would give wisdom and direction to those that will be heading up our finance committee, chairman of the deacons, all that stuff. You know what all goes into the business meeting. They'll be here tonight. They'll give us everything that we will need. So let's just ask the Lord to be with us in a very special way. Let's go to Him again in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service, God's blessing on the offering as well. Brother Larry, would you take us, Lord, in a word of prayer?
Sometimes I get excited when I think about who I am, that Jesus Christ would give his life to turn mine all around. There's no use in being disheartened, no use in hanging my head down. Oh, I can stand up and proudly say, I was lost, now I'm found. I'm a child of God. When old Satan comes against me, tries to bring me to the ground, then he tells me lies and then he tries to get me feeling down. But I will not be defeated because of what my Christ has done. Oh, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The victory has been won. I'm a child of the King. Do you know what that means? I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King. And to me, that's everything. I'm proud to say that I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Do you know what that means? I've got royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King, and to me that's everything. I'm proud to say that I'm a child of the King. I'm proud to say that I'm a child of the King.
Glad that I'm a child of the King, and I hope you are as well. Royal blood flowing through our veins. That is awesome. That is great. We are royalty tonight. And he wore the crown of thorns so that we could wear the crown, wear the robe of royalty. Appreciate the Lord tonight. Our text verse is going to be in John chapter number 8 tonight for a few moments. John chapter number 8, we want to read one verse, and that is verse number 44. John chapter number 8, in verse 44. Brand new service tonight. Had a wonderful service this morning. Again, the salvation profession and the choir music this morning, and enjoyed preaching. It's a brand new service tonight, and let's just look and see what the Lord will have for us this evening. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read from verse number 44 of John chapter number 8. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are. We praise you for what you do. Lord, be with us now in the next few moments. Hide us behind the cross. Give me clarity of mind, Lord. Give me liberty to speak. God, I pray you, Holy Spirit, will connect to the hearts of your people, because only you could do so. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. John chapter number 8, notice if you would in verse number 44. John 8, verse number 44. Ye are of your father the devil. In the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's going to be our text verse tonight. This evening, the devil is known by many names. You don't have to turn there, but I want to give you a few places to read later. John 10, verse 10, he's known as a thief. Revelation 12, verse 10, he's known as the accuser of the brethren. And if I back up and look in verse number 9 of Revelation 12, he has at least four different names in that one verse. Serpent, devil, Satan, great dragon. Isaiah 14:12, he's known as Lucifer. And then in our verses here, he's known as murderer, but also liar. Known as a liar. And tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to look into that last name that the devil is known by, and that is a liar. I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, the lies of the devil. The lies of the devil. The devil tonight cannot possess a born-again child of God. The Bible says, greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world. There is no way, no how, on no kind of fashion can Satan possess a born-again child of God. Nor can he take our souls to hell. But I will say that he can play with our emotions. He can play with the mind. And Paul speaks a great deal about the war that's in the mind. And he says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I believe, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and bringing to captivity every imagination and against the knowledge of God. And so tonight there is the mind aspect. Our hearts are saved, but our minds are not saved. And it's with the mind that our passions for the Lord flow. It's with emotions and fervency and passion that we serve the Lord. And so if the devil can feed us a lie, then he can neutralize us in our Christian journey. While we serve the Lord, if he can share with us fake news, then it can totally stop us in our tracks from moving forward with the Lord. So tonight I want to do my best to disprove his lies. Somebody here tonight may be struggling with a situation in your life, and maybe the devil has tried to lie to you and tell you that you'll never overcome your addiction. Or the devil may have lied to you and told you that you're not loved by Jesus, or these things wouldn't be happening in your life. But tonight, let's disprove some of these lies that Satan tries to feed the children of God. And when we start refuting these lies, we'll be on the path to victory. Let me say this, that Jesus used Scripture when he was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. We know that. At least three occasions he used Scripture to refute or disprove or get back at Satan while in that situation in the wilderness. And so that tells us that we're to use Scripture. It tells us that the Word of God is our sword, and that's what we need to use tonight in order to overcome his lies. If we fill our hearts and minds with truth, listen to this, there will be no room for the lies of the devil. If we teetotally fill our minds with Scripture, our hearts with the Word of God, then there will be no room for the devil to feed us a lie. And so tonight, let's do that. Let's fill our minds with the Word of God and be on our way to victory. I just want to share with you three lies that the devil tries to get the children of God to digest, to neutralize them. Number one of the main lies that Satan tries to give us is when he says and when he impresses upon the mind that Jesus doesn't care about you. That Jesus doesn't care. And most of the time when these lies come into our minds, it's when we're going through a hard situation, during a grievous time of pain, or some kind of setback, something in life where life isn't good at the moment. The devil comes in there and he says, you see there, if Jesus cared about you, he would jump in there and rescue you. And so this lie the devil uses often, especially to those going through times of grief or pain. And if we believe this lie, we are sinking fast into despair. But I want to refute that lie tonight. I want to disprove that lie that Jesus doesn't care. No matter how we may feel or no matter how our emotions may go up and down, we can settle this lie in the pages of God's Word that Jesus indeed does care. And the first verse I want to visit is 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter 5, one of my favorite verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, notice in verse 7. Peter says, casting all of your care upon him. What does it say now or next? For he careth for you. You're here tonight. You're watching on Facebook. You know you're saved by the grace of God. You're in some kind of strain, some kind of dilemma. The devil has got on your shoulder and said, Jesus don't care about you. Take the devil to this verse right here. 1 Peter 5, 7. Because it plainly says that we can cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. Doesn't matter how we feel tonight, Jesus cares. Doesn't matter what we're going through tonight, whether we feel like it's fair or not, Jesus cares. Like the song Miss Melita sang this morning, and how beautiful that song was in word and voice, but Jesus cares, and God is good all the time. So we see that Peter says that we can cast all of our care upon him, because he cares for us. God cares about what we care about. So what are you stressing this evening? What do you have anxiety about tonight? Jesus cares. Don't allow the devil to throw out the hook and the line and the sinker. And don't bite that bait where he says that Jesus don't care. Because he does. Another place is in Mark chapter number 4. Turn if you would to Mark 4 for a moment. Bible drill tonight. Didn't have enough bookmarks. Mark chapter number 4, the disciples are in a storm. Notice if you would, in verse number 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Here these disciples were literally in a windstorm. And this windstorm, it came suddenly. And it was very aggressive, the Bible says, in so many words. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, a windstorm. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And now this little vessel is filled with water. And the wind is coming relentlessly and it's beating upon this little vessel, this ship. And the waves are being tossed into the ship. And the ship was now full. Is your ship full tonight? Is your life filled with cares and worries tonight? Whatever it is that you may be experiencing where you're carrying a level of anxiety, is your ship full of the waters of this world? Do you feel like you're going down? Do you feel like Jesus doesn't care? That's what these disciples asked. In verse 38, that latter part, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus, hey, over here. Our boat is filled with water. We're going down, Lord. Do you care? It's filled with water. The wind is harsh. It's dark. Do you care? Well, let me say this. I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have been in the same situation these disciples were in. Lord, what are you doing asleep? Do you care? They were human. But he was asleep, which should state something to the disciples. If the Son of God, if Jehovah God, God incarnate in the flesh, controller of the universe, if he was asleep and there was a storm going on, that within itself should preach a message. If Jesus was asleep, doesn't that kind of imply that he's not worried about anything? If Jesus was asleep, it implies that everything is under his control. And tonight, if Jesus was sleeping through this storm, and these disciples, if they were fearful and afraid of their lives, they should at least look upon Jesus and know that if he was asleep, if he wasn't concerned, then they shouldn't have been concerned. Again, I probably would have asked the same thing if I was them. I don't know. But they asked, do you care? Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? One of the biggest lies that the devil tells the children of God is that Jesus doesn't care. And again, your boat tonight may be filled with the waters of this world, with the waters of worry, with the waters of just care. You may be laden with burdens and concerns. And the devil may have told you that Jesus doesn't care. You can bring him to the Word of God. And you could tell Satan tonight, he cared for those disciples. And he cares for me. Jesus cares tonight. He cares. What about in the Gospel of John? Turn to John chapter number 11. John 11. Lazarus had died. And we know that the family was asking for Jesus. Prior to, during, and after. But in verse number 32 of John 11, listen what Mary says. John 11, 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Mary, of course, was filled with, I like to say, the if factor. If you would have been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. How many of us tonight live operating out of that if factor? It's a hard way to live. If this would have happened, then my life would not have been ruined. Or so-and-so would have came through like I depended on them, then this wouldn't have happened. The if factor. And sometimes the devil uses that to tempt the child of God to wonder if God really cares because it happened. Lord, if you would have been there, my brother had not died. Verse number 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Well, he wept for a few different reasons, but I believe that he was touched with the feeling of those infirmities. He was touched by the heartbreak of Mary. He was touched that they didn't fully trust in him. Jesus was touched in so much that he wept. He wept. Again, many reasons Jesus wept. But I want to say tonight that Jesus cares about us. He cares. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews says. We have a God tonight who cares. I don't know who you are tonight that has digested the lie of the devil that says he doesn't care about you, because he does. Jesus cares. And so that's the first lie that we refuted. Jesus does care. But another lie of the devil is Christians don't sin. How about that? Christians don't sin. This is a lie this evening. The devil tries to get the believers believing. And if he's successful, the believer will doubt their salvation. They will doubt their salvation because if they sin, they will feel like, well, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't sin. How far, far from the truth. Christians, by no stretch of the imagination, are perfect people. We're not perfect, we're just forgiven. 1 John chapter number 1, if you would. 1 John 1, listen to this. In 1 John chapter number 1, in verse number 8, John writes to the children of God, and he says in verse 8, the first epistle of John, chapter 1, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're sinners. Our flesh isn't saved. And so the devil, sometimes he comes along and doesn't matter how hard you've been striving to serve the Lord, doesn't matter how many times you prayed or read your Bible, went soul winning, went to all three services a week, you slipped. And the devil comes along and he says, if you were really saved, you wouldn't have sinned. Well, I've got news for the devil tonight. I'm still a sinner as a believer, Brother Ceylon. And the Bible even says that if I deny that I'm a sinner, even as a believer, then I'm deceiving myself, and the truth is not in me. We're not perfect. We're just forgiven tonight. Our flesh didn't get saved when we got saved. Our souls got saved. Our connection to God the Father was mended by the cross of Calvary, Jesus, the Son of God. And now there is a flow from earth to heaven through the new birth. Our souls are saved, but our flesh isn't saved. Look at chapter 2 in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Okay, we don't want to sin. We're saved by the grace of God. We despise sin. We hate sin. We don't want to sin. And if any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What a blessing. Look in verse number 1, chapter 2, the word advocate. It's also a legal title, judicial title. The word advocate there means counselor for defense. It means intercessor or one who pleads on another's cause. Tonight, if I sin, whether willingly or I was just in a perfect storm and it happened, so to speak, then the Bible says that I have someone who is pleading my cause to the judge. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my advocate. He is your advocate. You see, tonight the truth is that we will still sin after salvation. The goal is to sin less. The desire is to sin less. But if any man sin, any Christian, child of God sin, we have this advocate. We have one who is standing between us and the Father. And He's saying, Father, they're not guilty. Father, they're innocent. And let me just say that Jesus standing in between us and the Father, all the Father sees is His precious blood. I'm glad tonight that although I'm striving for perfection, I'm striving to know the Lord in the power of His resurrection. There are times where I drop the ball, and more so than I would like to admit, but I drop the ball. And the devil gets on my shoulder sometimes, and he tries to feed me a bunch of lies, and I just take him to the Word. Well, the Bible says we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I'm glad tonight that Christians aren't perfect, we're just forgiven. And devil, you need to know tonight that Christians do sin. Christians do sin and are still saved. We just sin less, and we want to sin less. Turn over to, well, actually look at the next verse, and then we're going to turn over to Romans. In verse 2 he says, and He, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. That word, propitiation, is the same word for appeasing or to appease. But it's also the same word for atonement. I've been studying, getting ready to bring a series. I'm not sure which service it's going to be, Wednesday or Sunday morning, Sunday night, on the seven feasts of Israel. And one of them is the Day of Atonement. And we know that on the Day of Atonement, that the high priest would go in, and eventually he would go into the Holy of Holies, and there was the Ark of the Covenant, and then on top was the mercy seat, and the angels overshadowing with their wings. And so we know that the blood, it would be applied to that mercy seat annually, once a year, for the sins of the nation of Israel. And so for a whole year, they were freed, or it was rolled back. And so this would happen yearly. And you know the story, if you heard preaching much and teaching, that the scapegoat was released, and which the priest would pray over with his hand, and this would be symbolic to the sins being removed and taken into the wilderness. And of course, all of this being a foreshadow of the cross and what Jesus would do. I want to say that He is our atonement. He is, Jesus is the Father's satisfaction for when we sin. The same way that blood was applied to the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God would appear, and He would meet with His people. That would be a token that the sacrifice was accepted. Tonight, whenever we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our representative. He is our advocate. He's our counselor that goes before God, because, and He is the propitiation or the appeasal for our sin. Tonight we see that we do sin. But when we do, we have an advocate which the Father is pleased with. He is our propitiation. Romans chapter number 7 for a moment. Romans 7. I want you to notice a struggle that Paul talks about in Romans 7. In Romans chapter number 7, Paul talks about the struggle after salvation, the flesh and the spirit. Look in verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. Look at this word, warring against the law of my mind, in bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And so Paul is going through a wrestle. He's going through this battle, flesh versus spirit, and in all pain and agony and wanting redemption of his body, he cries out in verse number 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am," or "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Look back in verse 24. We have this painful lamentation of Paul. And it's the result of a painful conflict of the two natures. He says, there's things that I'm doing I shouldn't be doing, and there's things that I need to do, and I'm not doing those things. He says, I delight in the law, or I delight in the inward man. He said, the flesh dwells no good thing, and it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and he can't stand it anymore. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. It is the lamentation of a man who is in painful conflict of the two natures. I want to say tonight that if you're saved by the grace of God, any length of time, you will discover there is a real battle. There is a battle, flesh versus the spirit. And whichever one you feed the most will dominate the most. Now, in the ancient world, and in the ancient world, and in those times, these tyrants, you can read a book of history, and this is not proven, but it's thrown out there, and it really would fall in place here with Paul's language. There would be tyrants and those of the community that would inflict pain upon criminals and such. But it's said that they would bind a dead corpse to a living person as punishment. Again, back in these ancient times and in Bible days even, I'm sure, maybe even the Romans practiced this, that a form of punishment would be to be chained to a dead man. And so if they tried to escape, they had to drag this dead man around. If they tried to break free, they were trying to break free from a dead man. They went anywhere, their part of their punishment was take this old corpse and just drag it with them. And I think that's what Paul is getting at, if I can harmonize those two things. Paul says that I have a desire to do good and to serve God. At the same time, there's the flesh. And it's like dragging this dead man around. Everywhere I go, he is there in his heavy the heaviness of his nature is there, and it's warring in my mind, and I got to have victory from it. It's the cry of someone who wants to be free in Jesus. Someone who's battling the flesh every day. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from, and there's the phrase, the body of this death. Dragging that old dead man around. If you're saved by the grace of God tonight, there is a dead version of you. It's the old man that died when you got saved. But you see, he still gives us problems. He still drags us down and he's still attached to us. But coming one day, we will be free from the dead man that we drag around every day. There's coming a day when there's going to be total release and redemption from these bodies. I don't know about you, but I'll be glad one day when I don't have to struggle with temptation anymore. I don't have to struggle with sin anymore. There's coming a day where there's going to be a glorified Justin and a glorified CJ. Can't wait for that day. And a glorified all of us if we're saved. Perfect peace, harmony, living with Jesus. But until then, the devil tries to sell us lies. Christians don't sin. If you were really saved, you wouldn't sin. Well, Christians do sin. It's like the song says, he's still working on me. This is not the finished product. You're only seeing in part. Let me mention one more thing and then we'll change the service. Close the service and open up conference. The lies of the devil. Christians don't sin. Jesus doesn't care. And then how about this one? God's weary of forgiving you. Has the devil ever told you in your mind that God is tired of forgiving you? This lie will lead the believer down the dark road of despair if believed. Our past, our present, our future sins are gone. God is never tired of forgiving His children. There's discipline that He inflicts. We have to learn our lesson and we have to grow from it. But God never is despairing of forgiving His children. It's kind of like if you have a child. I know my child. I'm not happy when Lily's disobedient. Believe it or not. Well, forgot she was in here. No, I'd say if she's in here or not. There's times when she don't want to do the right thing. Is everybody in here always want to? No, there's times when our flesh gets involved and we don't want to do the right thing. But it's like Lily, when there's a moment when she doesn't do the right thing. I'm not happy with that. We talk about it and she's forgiven. And there'll never be a time, no matter how many times she's been forgiven from me and her mom since she's been alive, there'll never be a time where she comes to us. We'll say, we don't forgive you. We don't forgive you. And let me say, shame on a Christian who doesn't forgive others because we have been forgiven our sins. It may not be easy, but we must find forgiveness for others. And there'll never be a time when Lily comes to me where I'll say, I'm disowning you. I'll always love her. And when God seemed fit to make me a dad, like Brother Berman says, you are a dad till your toes turn up. Which means, till you go to the cemetery, you're a dad. I love our daughter. I always will love our daughter. I always will forgive her. That doesn't mean there's not consequences for disobedience. And the devil tonight, he would love for someone to just give up in despair and say, God is so tired of me coming to Him. And I will tell you this, that is a lie of the devil. He wants you to come to Him. Lamentations chapter number 3. I'll give it to you right quick. Lamentations 3, this was Jeremiah lamenting over the sins of Israel. And he says in chapter number 3, what a wonderful, wonderful promise and truth. In verse number 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, new. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. His mercies are new every morning." You're not going to weary the unweary one. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. There is no sin so great he will not forgive. There's no amount of times that you sin that he will not accept you back. I'm going to close with this illustration. Actually, it's the story of the prodigal son. And we know the story, that he wanted his inheritance and he went to a far country, joined himself a citizen, wasted everything he had with riotous living, and he would have eaten husk that the pigs did eat. And he came to himself. He says, "I will arise and go to my father's house." And he arose and went to his father's house. And the Bible says, I may not be quoting it perfectly, but when he was a great way off, that the father seen him and ran, fell on his neck. Pause for a minute. Jewish law says a situation like that would call for a neck crushing. He could, because of how he handled his inheritance and the shame that was brought upon the family, he could literally make his young boy a public example. This is what you don't do. Crush the neck. But he saw him when he was a great way off. He ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. He kissed him. Tonight, the Lord is not weary of forgiving you. Those watching on Facebook, God's not weary of forgiving you. Somebody needs to come to the Lord tonight and say, "Lord, here I am again." You'd have to cut in front of me, of course. Because, "Lord, here I am again. This bag of flesh that gives you so much trouble." But you know, the Lord doesn't view us that way. And God's not weary of forgiving us. Be like the prodigal son who goes to him. He will not crush our neck according to the law, because he fulfilled the law. He will give us kisses of mercy and grace. I'll close with this. One of the daughters of Billy Graham, she was very, very leery of going home after having been divorced. And the story says that she was coming home up that long, winding driveway, just looking for her dad. Oh, no. Oh, no. And the story says that she met him at the door. And he embraced her and gave her a hug. And said, "I love you, honey. You're forgiven. I forgive you." How about that? Isn't that a picture of the love of God? That God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. My prayer is that I'm a less sinner tomorrow than I am today. I want to keep pursuing the Lord and going after him. But this lie is a lie that can take somebody out if you're not careful. Don't believe the lies of the devil when he says God's weary of forgiving you. Don't believe the lies of the devil when he tells you that Jesus doesn't care and that Christians don't sin. Refute it with Scripture. Find a verse that totally, totally disproves these lies. And we'll be on our path to victory. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for who you are, for what you do. Lord, just a few simple truths we feel that are founded in the pages of your word. I pray tonight that someone may get some help. If nothing else, Lord, it's a great reminder that this enemy of our soul